And with a choice, there's responsibility. We need to help to teach our children that. We need to help in a great way to help them to understand about how to make a decision. That's one of the things I think parents don't do as well as they need to. Because we need to teach our children how they can make proper decisions. Because I'm going to tell you something. You can't watch them 24 hours a day. Did you know that? And if you can't watch them 24 hours a day, you better teach them how to make a decision. Because they're going to be not around you. They're not always going to have mama there to tell them you can't do that. Or daddy to say you got to do this. They've got to do. That's the reason that a lot of young people, when they go to college, they usually get themselves in a lot of trouble that first quarter. I know when our boys was going, I told Linda, I said, just get ready the first quarter. That boy's going to miss. He's going to flunk out of every class. Nobody will get him up out of bed. And isn't that way you felt about your kids sometime? And it may have been a problem there for a little while. I heard about a fella that didn't change his bed linens for a year. Don't laugh. It may have been your child. I mean, and you think about that. We sent Danny to Bible camp one year, and Linda got there on Thursday, I think it was, and Danny had on the same clothes that he wore to camp. And his mother had packed him all these other clothes to wear. And she said, "Have you had a bath?" He said, "We've been going in the swimming pool." You know, for a boy, that's okay. You got wet. She said, "You go down there and you get a bath and you change your clothes." He went down there and changed clothes and got a bath. I think he wore those other clothes for 2 or 3 days. I never did tell her that. But, you know, I mean, you can't be with them. So they got to learn to make choices. But not only them, we've got to learn to make choices. We've got to decide. Now, the question I want to ask tonight is why, but it's even a little more than that. It's very important that we realize that. And the question is, why do people sin? I mean, God could have created us where we did not sin. He could have made us to where we didn't sin at all. But we would have been just robots, just going through the form and going through the motion. Now, just think about that. We could come into worship and we could say, "God, we love you." Well, why do we do that? Because we have been programmed that way. What is it for God when God says, when God hears us say, "I love you," when He knows we've got a choice to make? Doesn't it make you feel good? Sometimes you tell your children, you know, two of them have had a fight, and you say, "Go tell your sister you're sorry." What do? They go say, "I'm sorry." Well, that doesn't really come across like you wanted it to. Or it could be, "Old brother, I'm sorry," too. That works too, that way too. But what is it when they go in and say, "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that"? Isn't it a little better? Because it's from the heart, and it's not just because they've been forced to do that. Could God force you to do what's right? Yeah. Does He? No. You've got a choice to make. So what is this, and how can we look at this? Why do people sin? Now I want to give you some reasons here. Why do people sin? The first one, people sin because they don't fear God. They have no fear, no dread of God. Now you say, "Wait a minute, is it right to fear God?" Yes, it is. And we need to learn to fear God. Does He have the power? Does He have the strength? Can He take not just the body and kill the body? Jesus said, "You fear the one that not only can kill the body, but He can take the soul and He can cast it in a place of punishment." The soul. We can't do that. There's no way that we have the power to do that. In Romans 3 and verse 18, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." Here's some people that don't fear God. And they're going to go, you say, "I don't know of anybody that doesn't fear God." There's a lot of people that don't fear God. Because if they did, they would live a different kind of life. So some people sin, and they do that because there is no fear in that for them. They don't have to worry about that. The psalmist said, it is the whole, Ecclesiastes said, Solomon said, that it is the whole duty of man to fear God and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. That's what the job is, to fear God and keep His commandments. That's what God wants. That's what we've got to learn to do. Now, we live in a time nowadays to where a lot of people say, oh, you don't need to be fearing God. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We need to do that. Now, sometimes people learn lessons by teaching. Sometimes they learn lessons by instructing. And sometimes they learn lessons because we're bigger than they are. Okay? Is that right? We don't like to say that, but that's true. And they've got to do that. We have to help people to understand they've got a choice to make. Because we all sin, Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has. And honestly, now think about this one. Every one of us are going to continue to sin too. And we won't talk about that in just a moment. We're going to sin. And we know that. What we've got to do is to realize that God is there, that we have got to give an account to God one day. And we've got to learn to do that. There's some people, I was looking at some show I clicked on the other day, and four or five policemen were trying to get this guy. He'd just been sentenced to several years or life sentence, and he was trying to get over to his family, and they didn't want him to get over to his family, and they were wrestling that old boy down. Got him down, put handcuffs on him. He didn't have any fear of those fellas. If he could have got his hands loose, he'd have probably got a hold of one of them too. He had no fear of the law. And sometimes young people need to have a fear of the law, of what will happen and what will do. Have you heard of this program, Scared Straight? Great program. They take young people, carry them to jails, and let them see the prisoners that are there. It's one thing when somebody says, you're going to go to jail. It's another thing when you hear that door click behind you and you know you're locked in. That's a scary thing sometimes. Even if you know you can get out. Isn't that right, Linda? Going on Monday, Melvis, Bernice, all y'all that go to the jail, you know you can get out. But you're not real sure about that. And you hear that thing click, it kind of, it just gets you back just a little bit because of fear. I don't think that's a bad thing. Some people need that. Some people don't have that kind of fear, and they don't have a fear of God. You know, the way to destroy this, the way to be able to handle this and have a fear of God is because we listen to what God says. We hear His Word. We hear what He commands us. Now, we need to understand in Hosea 4 and verse 6, it says there, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They don't understand. When we encourage you to study the Bible, what we're trying to do is encourage you to understand that the more you study God's Word, the more you learn about God, and the more you're going to love Him. If that study is right and profitable, it's going to help you to gain a fear of God. It's going to help you to gain a respect for God. Now, I'm not saying that fear needs to continue. That fear should change to love because of what God has done for you. But sometimes some people do need to fear God. So some people just do not fear God. Now, secondly, here it talks about people sin because they are deceived by sin. Sin is deceptive. Listen to this passage. Hebrews 3 and verse 13. Exhort one another. Encourage one another. Warn one another. Daily, while it is called today, unless any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You can become so hard. You've seen those people before? That they have been in sin so long, they cannot change. They cannot repent. They're going to continue to live the way they're living. And it doesn't make any difference what you say or what you do. Jesus talked about some people that what you're to do is to shake the dust off of your shoes and go on. It's not going to do any good. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your effort. You're wasting your energy. We have got to be those people that realize that sin, if it's allowed to get into us, it can gain a power over us. You know, there's some people that they can't control themselves when it comes to drugs. They have an addictive personality. And if we're not careful, we can have an addictive personality to sin. Have you ever seen anybody that wanted to stop the sin that they were committing? They knew it was wrong. You didn't need to sit there and say, this is what the Bible says. They knew it was wrong, and they really wanted to commit it, but because not to commit it. But what has happened now is they become so attuned to that, it becomes so much of them that they really can't stop. And sometimes with drugs, people have to go through certain treatments, a step-down program. With sin, we need to try to stop that if possible. But some people, it's so much a part of them, they don't even see anymore. They're blind. In the book of John, that's one thing that it talks about there. There's the light and there's the darkness. And people in darkness can't see the light because it's dark. And he's saying, stay away from that. Don't let that become a part of you. Why do you think the Bible gives us warning after warning after warning to stay away from sin? To not let sin become a part of us. Not let sin reign in our mortal bodies. That we've got to be willing to change. We all are going to sin. And even after we become a Christian, we're going to sin. But hopefully it's not something that we're going to habitually do. It's not a way of life with us. In fact, the Bible says, if you say that you have not sinned, you make who a liar? Why? Why do you make God a liar if you say you don't sin? Because God says you do sin. And you're going to say, no, I don't. Yes, you do. All of us do. Even after we become a Christian, even after we come up out of the watery grave, we still sin. But hopefully, that's not something that we're going to continue to do habitually. Now, we may do it. We may commit that sin again. But let me tell you something. God is there ready to forgive if we'll repent. He's ready to cleanse us and make us right. He will be willing to do that. He'll cleanse us. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That means God will keep His word. Any sin you repent of, God will forgive. How many times will He do that? As many times as you repent. Do you see that God wants to save us? Do you see, we need to ask the question, why do we sin? We need to ask that question. We need to try to find out. Because you see, sin is so deceptive. Some people think, you know, well, I can get real close to it. I can just associate with people that sin. I can just have them as my friends. Let me tell you something. If all of your friends are not members of the church and they're not Christians, you're not going to be very long. Amen. That's a good one. Y'all missed that one. I'm telling you, that was a good one. They say if a person, when they're baptized, that many become unfaithful in the first 5 years if they don't have at least five friends that are members of the church that are trying to help them. Sin is so deceptive. We think we're so strong. We think I can handle that. I can deal with that. I can handle that sin. I can just walk in there and have... No. You better stay away from it. Don't touch it. Let it alone. Don't handle it. Don't have anything to do with it. People sin because of the temporary pleasures that it offers. I've heard preachers, youth ministers, all stand up and say, sin is terrible, sin is bad, it's not good. Let me tell you something. Sin's good. You enjoy it. It feels good. You like it. Now, please understand what I'm saying in that. Sin is something that this body wants to do. Sin is something that this body has just, it's just something that gives us pleasure. And that's the way the devil uses that. He uses the pleasures that we have in this life, the body, and some of those things we don't even think about. Young man gets him a job. He's going to church. Got to work on Sunday. Well, You get off work Sunday morning, what do? It's just too hard to get up and go to church. I'm going to sleep late. Is that wrong? Is that a sin? Now, some of you are sitting here saying, you must not have worked at night, fella. I understand how hard it is. Linda had a job at a hospital working at night. And she got off at 7 o'clock, and we had church at 10 o'clock, I think. And Linda sat there going, you know, like some of us, trying to stay awake. Somebody said, wouldn't it be better just to stay at home? No. Because there's things that we can learn. And see, that doesn't look that bad. But it gives us, you know, we can do these things. We can miss these things. It's going to give us a little pleasure to sleep a little later. It's going to give us a little pleasure to just go along with what's going on. Listen, if we're not careful, we can let the pleasures of this world pull us away from God and the church. It's done all the time. And we can't do that. We can't allow that. That can't be a part of us. We can't let those pleasures do that. Listen, think about Moses. Here's Moses who was willing to deny what? In Egypt. The pleasures of Egypt. Were those things bad? Well, they were going to lead him away from God. They're going to lead him away from serving God. Anything, I don't care what it is, that leads you away from God is bad. And you need to stay away from it. You don't need to let that be a part of your life. Because of the pleasures of sin, we're tempted to do a lot of things that are wrong. We're tempted to do a lot of things. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by what? By his own lust, his own desires. That's what he's got to be careful with. Remember James saying that in James 1, verses 14 and 15? Be careful that because you'll be drawn away with your own desires. Then, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. See, it doesn't start out as anything bad. But it leads to something that's bad. And we got to be careful about that. And he says, don't allow that to be a part of it. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Maybe physical death, but I think he's talking more about a spiritual death here, to where the spirit just does not want to be with spiritual things, to where the inner man doesn't want that to be a part of his life. We've got to be those people that we understand that. We've got to understand the wages of sin is death. That's what you get for that. You say, well, it doesn't really look that bad. Oh, yes, it is. If it'll cause us to be separated from God, we don't need to have a party to that. People sin because the soul of the wicked desires evil. And that's found in Proverbs 21 and verse 10. The soul of the wicked desires evil. Do people really want to sin? Yeah. There's some people that do. They want to sin. They want to chase this man or this woman or this thing or that thing, and it's wrong. But that's their desire more than anything else. And they'll give up everything that God has to offer, and they'll give up everything that God wants them to stay away from. We've got to be willing to recognize that can't be a part of us. Some people go so far in this, to where in the sin, to where they call evil good and good evil. Calling that which God has blessed evil and that which God has said to stay away from as good. We can get that way if we're not careful. We've got to be careful about that. And so here it's trying to tell us not to do that. All right, people become, number five, people sin because of the influence of their friends and other people. Now, usually at this time, the preacher starts talking to young people. Be careful about your friends. Let me tell you something. Some of you people that are old and maybe your hair has gone out for lunch somewhere, you need to worry about it too. All of us do. Young people do. But All of us do. It's very easy for other people to pull us away from the church. I've seen people marry, might as well kiss them goodbye because they're gone. Their mate's not going to come. And if their mate doesn't come, then after a while they may not come. It takes strength when you're the one in the family that is the spiritual person and other members of the family are not. It takes strength to be able to come and serve and do. I'm not saying it's impossible to have that, but it takes strength to be able to do that. I've had people to tell me over the years, oh, I remember Sister so-and-so. She brought 5 kids in, and they all sat down on that row, looked like a bunch of little ducks following the mama duck. And they all came in and sat down. They took up almost a whole row. And when a couple of them went to sleep, they took a whole row. Why? Why did she do that? You ever got kids ready? While you're getting them ready, sometimes they're getting unready. While you're putting their clothes on, they're taking them off. While you're putting their clean clothes on, they're getting them dirty. You ever done that? Have you ever just thought, listen, I am not going, I am not going, I'd rather fight than worship. Don't say amen. You might get convicted of that one. Have you ever thought it'd be better just to stay here? Trying to get a child ready to go to worship. Trying to get yourself ready to go to worship. And I'll just say this, your sorry old husband sitting there in that chair, I don't know why y'all want to go to church. Now, it's not always that case. Sometimes it's the mama that's sitting in that chair saying, I don't know why y'all want to go to church. But we've got to recognize that we can be influenced by others to participate in sin and to be a part of that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, don't be deceived. Good companions can help you to do what's right, but evil companions, that's what he says, evil companions corrupt good morals or good habits. They get us away from it. And he says, don't let that be a part of it. Be careful who you choose to be your friend. Be careful who you choose to be your best buddy. Choose those people that can help you to be the best Christian you can be. Had a friend of mine one time, a preacher, he said, I chose my wife because she could help me to be the best Christian I could be. What if we chose ours that way? I didn't choose Linda like that, but I got it. Lord takes care of some people. Now I got to ask about that amen there. Forget that. But we've got to be careful about who our friends are, because sin can really become a part of our lives and it can destroy us. We've got to be careful about that. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. You know what's right. You know what you need to do. Do it. Don't let other people influence you in not doing it. You don't need a preacher saying, don't do that. You don't need Mark looking over your shoulder saying, don't do that, Charles. You've got to make that decision yourself. And that's if you're a young person or if you're an older person. You've got to make that decision. You've got to decide what you're going to do with that. You've got to make up your mind. Now, what I want us to see in the waning minutes of this sermon, what is sin? Now, we all think, we know what sin is. It's doing things that the preacher tells you, don't do those things. Well, sin is going against God's law. It's going against the commandments of God. Whosoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. You're going against the law of God. And that's not what we need to do. Some people say, you know, you can't break God's law. Well, I don't know if you can break God's law, but you sure can go against it. And if you do that, that's lawlessness. And that's what the Bible's talking about. Don't let that be a part of you. Sin is breaking what God wants us to do. Sin is turning away and rejecting God. All unrighteousness is sin. And we could go on and on and on about what sin is. Sin is something that we do not need to have a part in. But let me tell you something. Sin is powerful. It's pretty. It looks good. It makes you feel good. And you want to be a part of it. And the world is encouraging you in that. Now, what's it going to do for you? Why do we like sin so much? Because sin just goes along with our life, with the physical body. And if you want to, you can take this physical body that you got and you can try your dead level best to stay away from sin on your own. I don't think most of us can do that. I think very few of us can do that. But even if we do, what do we have after this? What we've got to do is to get God's help in that. And not only God's help, but other people that can help us. You know, the Bible tells us, if I see my brother sin, I need to go warn him. I need to encourage him to do what's right. One, he may not know what he's doing. And then, again, he may know what he's doing, but he just needs somebody to encourage him not to do it again. Not getting on to him, not fussing at him. In fact, in Galatians 6, it talks there about treating him like he would a broke arm or broke leg and restoring him. See, isn't that God giving us help? Sin, what is sin? How can it destroy us? How can it hurt us? It has the power to do that, and we cannot allow that. Do not let sin, Romans 6 and verse 12, reign in your mortal bodies. He didn't say, don't let it reign in your soul. Now please don't think he's not talking about that. But you see, where sin starts is in the flesh part. And then it goes to the soul. It's kind of like an acid. You put some acids on a piece of material, it'll eat through that piece of material, and it'll eat through the next piece of material, and it just keep on eating. And sometimes you've got to put stuff on it to kill that acid. Sin does that. Don't allow that to do it to your life. Again, it can go so deep. I don't know if we've got the power to cut it out or to stop it any longer. Some people are lost. You say, can they repent? Oh, yes. But will they repent? Oh, no. Because it's such a part of their life. Help people to understand what sin is. Understand what that is yourself. Understand why we sin. Understand why we keep on sinning, and try your dead level best to stay away from it, stay as close to God and God's people as possible, and stay as close to God's Word in your heart and your mind as you can. Because I'm going to tell you something, Satan is trying to eat away at it. And he's after every one of us. Don't allow that. Don't allow that at all. We're going to sing an invitation song. You know what sin is. You don't need me to tell you. You understand what it is. Please, if there's sin in your life, get rid of it. Whatever you got to do. If you need to be immersed in water for the remission of those sins, then listen, do that. That's what those people did in Acts 2. They were pricked in their hearts because they knew that they were sinners. And they knew they needed to change and they were willing to do it. It's not easy to get up and to come forward and say, I want to be baptized. It's not easy to call one of the elders or call me and say, I want to be baptized. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's something that is necessary. Without that, there is no salvation. Please, turn from sin. Repent of it. Don't let it be a part of your life. Overcome it, and don't allow it to overcome you.